Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva of Duels Blog Talk Radio Show. We're glad you guys could join us tonight. We've got with us Nikki, who's joining us as a co-host. Nikki, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello. And Marianne will be joining us shortly, hopefully. And we have the pleasure of being able to interview Jennifer Brown Thomas. Jennifer?
Hi, how are y'all?
Hi. For those of you who may not be familiar with Jennifer, it doesn't take long to know that she is a powerhouse. And I know you'll giggle when I say that, but she is. I knew you would. But we've come to know Jennifer, she's just an amazing woman, a very talented individual and a pleasure to know. She is the writer, director, and producer of the new movie Blissful Lives that's premiering soon. And she is the writer, director, and the producer of the movie. And the movie stars Leanne Hunley, who many of the people who follow our show know as the beloved Anna DeMira. Some may know Leanne from Dynasty or Dawson's Creek as well. So Jennifer's had firsthand experience working with Leanne, and so I'm sure we'll get to hear some stories about that. And but we're just a pleasure to have you here, Jennifer, and thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it. Yes, thank y'all for having me.
So, and I should also mention that not only did you write, direct, and produce this movie, you're also finishing up a college degree, having a baby,
yes.
Having being married, all of those things. And also, I think you managed to fit in a couple of books and another screenplay in the middle of all that. Do I have that right?
No. A few things.
Multitasker, yes.
And a little bit of tweeting, a little bit of Facebook in between, right?
Stay on top of my social networking, you know.
That's very important.
Yeah. It is.
Well, I don't know. Would you like to start by maybe sharing a little bit about the movie, about the premise of the movie, and we can kind of go from there?
Absolutely. Blissful Lies is a feature-length film that is pretty much surrounded by Leanne's character, which is Addison Hamilton. She's the mom of this very dynamic group that we have going on. It's a five-party group, college kids that grew up together. They share a very inseparable bond and very close to one another. And she kind of heads this group. She's their din mom, I think is what she calls herself. But she also just gets elected chancellor of the university upon the opening of the film, of the same university where they all attend. So it is a very unique, very close-knit relationship. So it kind of starts off there. In this group, you see that they're pretty much inseparable. They have very close ties, and then as the film progresses, you find out things that they didn't know about each other and how it affects their relationship.
Very good. Well, I should mention, too, there's an awesome trailer at the official Blissful Lives website. blissfullives.com. Very creative.
Yes,
you can go to that website. You can learn a lot about the movie, about the actors in the show. So if you want to learn more about Leanne and her role in the movie, and learn some more about Jennifer's background and everything, it's got great stuff there. And more importantly, there's an awesome trailer. I mean, it really draws you in. And I'm not just saying that because I love you. I really, really was like, this looks good. This looks juicy. And,
I said it's very well done.
Oh, thank you.
It is. It is. I mean, it's. I was just blown away because, I mean, I knew I would love it anyway because of who's involved. But then, like, when I watched it, I was just like, I want to know these characters. I want to know this story, you know.
Exactly.
So it was very, very beautifully done. And, of course, when you're dealing with beautiful subjects, it also doesn't hurt, right? But it's really very impressive. And so if anyone wants to check that out, just go to the official movie website, blissfullives.com, and check it out.
Yes. I'm a guest book.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. So I guess one thing that I was wondering is, because I know you're doing all these projects and everything, as a writer, how how would you describe your writing process, first of all? I'm just curious, like, how is your process? Do you lock yourself away? Do you just do it in snippets throughout the day? Or what, you know, what is your process when you're working on a major project like this?
Okay, well, so actually going from my head to paper.
Yeah, it's been floating around in the head for a while, I guess.
Well, you know, and sometimes yes, sometimes no. I mean, sometimes I just sit down and out it comes. A lot of times I will play a DVD or a song or something and just put my headphones in and really try and focus on what I'm doing. I think I joked about this in our last interview, but I have like verbal vomit. Like as soon as I start thinking of a story, I'm just like, oh, and we'll do this and this and this and da 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 da. And it'll go like this, the end. So
it all comes out.
That's how it goes. But usually it's very late at night, as I'm sure you all know.
Yes.
Yeah, usually. I mean, I would say 9 times out of 10, it's super late at night unless my mother-in-law has Kinsley or something. But, you know, prior to her, even the most work I get done is always at night. Everyone's asleep. That's really when I get a chance to sit down and focus. So
Basically you get no sleep.
I don't get a lot of sleep. I don't get a lot of sleep. But, you know,
do you
have to
more,
do a test.
I'm sorry. Do you feel more creative? Like, as a writer myself, that's really weird because I mean, I don't have a baby. I don't have all the things that you have going on. But I can write only at nighttime. Even in the daytime when I have no distractions, I just feel like I can only write at night. I don't know why that is, but do you feel like that?
Yeah.
Or is it just
I definitely get the most work done at night. I definitely feel, and I'm not sure why that is. It's probably just in my head, but that's just how, I mean, I feel like I have a better grasp on how I want to tell this story. And it's always in the middle of the night, always, every time. It's awesome. But, I mean, I'm not sure what that's all about. But, yeah, mostly at night. I mean, I write during the day, too, you know, if she's gone or if I have a day where I'm not doing 15 other things. But mostly it's in the evenings.
Gotcha. Yeah, I actually can relate to that as well. You guys know I'm a night owl also. So I don't know. There's just something about that second wind that happens that, like,
yeah, exactly.
Just kind of turns something on, you know? But all these people that go to bed at 9 o'clock at night miss. I don't know. They just miss out on that.
You just miss it.
See? There could be people that are, like, amazing writers that just sleep. Maybe
they
don't even
don't
know
it. I know. So sad.
Oh. So, Marianne is here, so I'm going to bring her in. So,
okay.
Great. Just a second here. Hi, Marianne.
Oh, hi. How's everyone?
Hi.
Good,
hi.
Good. We've got Nikki here and Jennifer. And
hi, Nikki.
Talking about
hi, Jennifer.
The movie.
Hi.
Okay, yeah, I just got home from work about like 5 minutes ago. So, yeah, I don't know what you guys were. Yeah. So what were you talking about, though? the movie, or
a little bit about the movie, about Jen's chaotic lifestyle, not getting any sleep, and just like writing process and that kind of thing. And one thing else on that the writing note that I wanted to ask is, do you find a difference? Because what I think for what you're doing, or at least what I, from what I understand, is you've done the screenplay and you've produced the movie, and now you've written a novel based on the movie, or how to explain a little bit about the relationship with the movie and the novel, if you would.
Well, I know just, and this is going to be with anything, and you always hear how much better the book is than the movie, usually. You usually hear that the book is better than the movie. And that is because events that you create in your head are always harder to capture on film than what you might expect. So, you know, either the lighting was wrong or there was too much wind or, you know, it got dark too fast, anything. You just, or it's like physically you can't find a location that fits what you see in your head and it's different. So when you take your ideas and you put them on paper for someone else to read, you're able to express that in a deeper way. You're able to show that more elaborately, or you know what I mean? It's easier to make someone picture what you see in your head with words as opposed to trying to capture it on film. So I would say
I've never actually heard it described that way. That's very interesting. I like that.
Yeah, it's definitely hard sometimes to capture, you know, there was this one scene in Blissful Eyes that I wanted so bad. I wanted it so bad. And just logistically, it just didn't work. I mean, there was too much noise in the background. There was too much wind. It just, of a thousand different reasons why it would have been a wasted shot. So when you sit down and you write it down on paper for someone else to be able to see in their mind, it's so much simpler. So the book is... Exactly. It has everything in it that the film has. It just has a lot more. There is a lot that I could add or embellish or, you know, change. I didn't really change a lot. I, you know, tweaked some things here and there. But essentially it follows the screenplay all the way. There's just more detail. There's more embellishing and a way for me to express to you how this happened. So it's lengthy and I was excited.
Were you writing it along at the same time as, or have you been writing it since the movie was produced, or were they kind of coinciding with the writing of the screenplay, or how did you
I wasn't originally going to turn it into a novel. After we wrapped filming and Liam went home and, you know, we were trying to get ready for the baby, and I was just like, you know, I don't want to. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. So, but it was probably, I guess I started working on it towards the end of December a little bit. Okay. And then, I mean, I worked on it here and there a little off and on. And then one day, I mean, I would say probably in March or April, I just sat down and started working on it. And I'm so glad I did, because it really, it turned out so great. We have a lot of people interested in it. We're still kind of going back and forth.
Still negotiating?
You know, I decided I wasn't really in that big of a hurry to pick someone just to publish. So I'm waiting for the right company that I feel like really fits who I am to be represented by. So it's going really well. We have so many great people that we've been in contact with and so many wonderful companies. So I'm super excited to see who ends up getting it. But, yeah, it's going well.
And now I have to say, going back to that, you know, as a sentimental, blissful diva, It is now September, which marks the one-year anniversary of filming the movie from last September.
I can't even believe that.
I know, it went by so fast, and we had so much fun last September, your fans. We were just in all glory. So we're really excited that it's been, you know, a whole year. And, you know, to see how it's been put together and progressed and everything. But I was wondering, do you know of any premiere dates yet or where it's going to be? Because I know you were thinking, I think, Dallas and L.A., or
okay. So the editing was wrapped. I think I was actually maybe chatting with a couple of you the night that we wrapped editing. So the editing is completely finished right now. It's in audio. You know, you just, this is such a convoluted industry. So if you're in charge of everything, it's just, it's, you know, it's just, I don't like it, but it is what it is. And then it's just, it's part of it. I cannot believe it's been a year, but
so
I'm thankful.
You really can't give definite answers.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
that's,
I mean,
that's hard to do.
I did that so often in the beginning because I was being told it will be finished by this day. It will be finished by this day. Well, when you're working with a team of people, it's just not realistic to say, okay, it is going to be finished by this date. I can say that audio is going to be finished by the end of September. I would be ecstatic if it was a little bit sooner, which I'm thinking it may be. But audio should be completely finished by the end of September. And then I have to go to LA for some business to finish up a few things and get it all put together. So, but to put it together takes a couple of days. So, you're looking at the beginning of October, but, you know, every time I say it's definitely going to be finished going to be finished by this date.
Just say you'll be the first to know, right?
You will. You will be the first to know.
The Diva fans will be the first to know.
Yes, definitely. And it actually, I think when I was speaking with all of you last time, I had mentioned the runtime was just under 2 hours. Well, it's a little bit longer now, so I was I thought you'd be happy about that. So
yes.
It's like 2:18, so it came together really, really beautifully. I'm very happy with it. You know, I learned a lot. Really excited about doing the next one because of everything I learned on this one. So,
there's things that you found that probably worked really well and things that maybe you're doing a little differently on the second project.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
So, we'll be doing the next film that I'm doing, which we're planning on starting pre-production like in March. We'll be doing what's called dailies, which we edit daily. So the film will be finished like a week after we wrap, which will be pretty awesome. So there won't be all this waiting and when's it going to be. And so we'll actually edit daily as opposed to trying to edit the whole thing after we wrap. So
now,
I'm pretty excited about that.
Is the script finished for the second movie yet, or is it still in progress?
It is still in progress. It's not finished yet. It's very close. It's very close, and then I have to, you know, do all my twinkling of toes and sending it out to who's getting it, but it's very finished. I mean, very close to being finished.
Leanne is a good possibility for the second film, right?
She is, yes.
I was going to say, do you have an idea of what actors or a character, you have your characters and who you want to play them yet? You haven't decided that? Or
I pretty much have, I think I kind of had mentioned that before, but I do pretty much have a set idea of who's going where. Sometimes with conflicting schedules, it doesn't always work out the way you want it to, but I have a pretty good idea of just about everyone. A couple of people, couple of characters, I should say, I'm not quite sure on, but for the majority, everyone's pretty much been decided.
Well, that's
and I'm so excited.
Well, we're looking forward to that. Of course, we're looking forward to Blissful Lives because that comes first. But we're also looking forward to see what you do with the next project, because that's always fun. We do have a caller.
Okay.
And if you don't mind, we'll go ahead and take this caller. It's Susie.
Okay.
Susie, are you there?
Hey, ladies.
I am.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks. How is everybody?
Good.
Well, I kind of have a two-part question, but it goes back to what you were talking about earlier, the writing process and all of that. So I am kind of coming into this a little bit late, but you may have already mentioned this, but have you ever written a screenplay before you wrote Blissful Lies?
No.
No?
Never.
Yeah, I can imagine that was pretty intimidating. But so when you did write it and you started filming and everything, did you find that you had to change anything as you went along? I mean, I heard you said you couldn't get in a lot of the scenes that you wanted to sometimes, but I was just kind of curious if you had to rewrite things as you were filming or if you thought it went pretty smoothly for a first time.
I will say that a lot of times when you have ideas of what people are going to say, they don't always come out the way you thought they were going to come out.
Uh-huh.
So I think, and that goes along with anyone, I would almost say anyone, unless you really, you know, we did a table read prior to filming Blissful Eyes, so we changed some things through that, and that's basically where everyone sits around a table and reads their parts. So that you can kind of see about how long it's going to take, about how long the run-through is, and then if anything sounds odd. And then with the program that I use, it's called Final Draft, they actually have voices on the computer, so if you're not sure about something or if something you can't get it worded exactly right, if you use the voice control, it'll read it out to you, and then you can hear it played back. But to answer your question, yes, we absolutely had to change some things. I'm just thinking how crazy it all is. We absolutely had to change some things. And a lot of times if you have exact lines and you don't let your talent deviate from it at all, it sometimes comes across stiff on camera just because it's not the way that they would say it, or it's not comfortable to them, or it's not rolling off their tongue correctly. So you really do have to be flexible to a certain extent. I mean, I'm very laid back. I'm very, okay, sure, that sounds good. Let's do that. So it's just a very unique process. We definitely changed some things. We definitely moved some things around to accommodate schedules, lighting. You know, we had a hurricane blow through town one day, so it just everything.
Oh, what's a little hurricane?
I know that was. It took us like 2 hours to get to work that day. It was ridiculous.
Oh,
by now.
Yeah, it was so crazy. So yeah, absolutely. Well, that's really fascinating. Well, thanks for answering, and
you're welcome.
Thanks so much for doing the interview. It's exciting. thank you.
All right. Y'all take
care. Thanks, Susie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Jen, since you wore all those different hats and everything, I was just saying, because a lot of times I think of right brain, left brain. Obviously, like you were saying, when an actor's actually delivering the lines that you envisioned in your head when you were writing the screenplay, might come out differently. There's obviously such a creative process involved in that whole thing, and like you said, flexibility is important and everything. But I'm just wondering, like, do you think it's just pretty well balanced as far as the role that you played with all those hats of how much your right brain and your left brain came into play on that? Because, you know, there are a lot of people who are very creative in the world or talented, but they don't have the business savvy or they don't have the ability to take it from that creative product to actually become a marketable product. I'm just curious, you know, what your thoughts are on that.
I think that this was my first film, so I was definitely, I had a part in everything. It was my baby before my baby, so it really,
right.
Yeah, it really, I really had to think with both sides. You think, okay, I really want this shot, like you said, I really want this shot. Is it important? Is it crucial? Does it matter to the story? No. I just really wanted it. So, okay, then no, it's not going to be a marketable piece, so we're going to leave it out. It's just, it's very tricky. I think looking at the film from an objective point of view, which was difficult at times, I think cutting out material, I think is the hardest part for me. But just because you feel like you wrote it, it's important to you, you want to leave it in, you want to leave everything in. Well, you can't always do that. So you really have to compartmentalize and step back and say, okay, this is what's going to make it marketable. This is what's going to sell it. Let's do it. I mean, and I had to cut out. It was so long. It was over 3 hours long. So I had to cut down to like an hour of material, which was great. I mean, we had a ton of footage. We got more footage than most people get in 6 months. So, you know, I'm really proud of that.
What was your shooting schedule?
16 days.
How many days? 16?
16.
Oh, I thought it was 3 weeks. 16. Oh, geez.
Wow.
Yeah, because we didn't film on the weekend.
And you had more. And you had.
Wow.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was so crazy. And Leanne starts getting crazy around 7. And so nights that were 2 o'clockers, 2 a.m.ers, it was awesome. She starts getting, like, laughing hysterically. We had to film one night well until the early morning hours. And, I mean, she was dying laughing hysterically. I have these outtakes that would just crack y'all up. So it was good times, but it was long days.
Well, is it a prerequisite if you work with Jen, you have to be a night owl and need no sleep?
No,
you know,
not.
Actors shouldn't market themselves that way if they want to be on your show.
If the director doesn't sleep, nobody sleeps.
Exactly.
That's right. That's true.
That's why she was probably laughing so much. Lack of sleep.
Yeah.
Get kind of giddy after not sleeping, or when you're
so
tired.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have a blooper reel from the show?
Oh, that
I don't
would be
have
nice
it on a reel
see.
Yet, but I have them all, you know, saved to a folder on my computer and on my hard drive, but I do, I mean, I have them. I'll release it when I release the film, I'm sure. A lot of them I can't show in theaters.
Please tell us that the darling diva of all divas did not say anything naughty or anything.
No, never. But a lot of the talent that we have were just young kids and even, you know, not so young ones were, I mean, it's just part of the process. It's good times.
Jen, some of the fans in the chat room, they're talking about Leanne, and they said they want some Leanne dish, quote unquote. I was just wondering if you could share a favorite moment or a funny story about working with Leanne on the movie for them.
Let's see. My favorite story about working with Leanne.
Favorite moment.
Probably a lot.
Thing you could share.
I'm thinking. There were so many. my favorite thing. Well, I was pregnant, so yeah. I am I was pregnant, so she got like an immense amount of joy out of the fact that when she would sing or when she would talk to my stomach, Kinsley would kick.
Mm-hmm.
So we had we were filming a scene on the beach, and she and I were, I had just gotten finished blocking it out, which means that how it's going to happen, what's going to happen, who's going to walk here, who's going to stand there, blah, blah, blah. I had just finished doing that with our DP, our director of photography, and she was standing under an umbrella, and we were just, I was exhausted, and I laid my head on her shoulder, and she put her hand on my stomach, and she started singing to the baby, and she started kicking and going crazy, and so that was a fun, you know, kind of a fun moment for us, but, you know, there were just so many. She was so great to work with. She was, you know, always up at the crack of dawn, and it was long hours, like I said. So she was, she hung in there really well. But there were a lot of times like that where, you know, she sent the wardrobe stylist in to make sure I was drinking enough water, or she, you know, things like that. So she's, I can't really think of another. I mean, there were so many. There was one where I think I've shared with you girls before, but there was...
Yeah, so you have to tell it again.
Crazy.
Oh,
we love hearing diva stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. just one of these crazy days, I was sitting in my director's chair, and our DP was standing over in the corner talking over some things with the audio guy, and the lighting guy was standing popping his gum in the... by the table, you know, 5 feet from me. The wardrobe stylist was freaking out because we needed this piece of wardrobe that was someone took home or whatever. And a group of actors and actresses were rehearsing their lines. They were joking and laughing, and it was just like this huge mass painting of chaos. I mean, it was loud. There were people everywhere. They were trying to set up the boom mic to pick up sound. They were trying to get the people mic'd who needed to be mic'd. And so I'm sitting here watching all of this. And then Leanne comes bebopping through the whole crowd wearing she had a purple strapless dress that she wore in the film. And her hair was just about, she had on platform heels because she doesn't really, I mean, platform sandals because she doesn't really like to wear heels. They hurt her feet. So she's walking through, and she has her script in her hand, and she's going over lines, la, 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 la. I was just like, oh, my God. This is insane. And I just lay down in the middle of the floor, and I lay down, and I was like, I'm tired. Just watching all of this has made me tired. I'm laying down. Get me when
And you were
time.
How pregnant at that moment? How pregnant were you at that moment?
I was about 6.5 months pregnant. Yeah, it was just,
that's a good vision right there.
It was crazy. Everyone was just doing their own thing, and people were eating and yelling and laughing, and it was just crazy. But, you know, there were so many great moments on set, even off set, that we really got to share with one another. So it was awesome. It was a great experience.
Aww. But you get to be like a family when you're working that closely, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
For that intense
Oh, yeah.
of a period of time. I mean, that's,
absolutely. There's
wow.
not really anything that you don't know about someone after you spend 23 hours a day for them for a month. Because Liam was actually here for just a couple of days short of a month. So mm-hmm. it was
wow.
awesome. Quite the experience.
Well, not to be superficial or anything, but just could you just confirm for those who haven't met Leanne, does she not have, like, the best hair in the world? I mean, or almost the world.
Great.
I mean, maybe there's somebody out there who has better hair, but I don't know who they are. No.
She's got great hair. She's got very workable hair. It stays for a long time. You know, when you're filming multiple sets of scenes a day, there's a lot
yeah.
of... curling, flat ironing, change this, change that, put it up, put it down, brush it, you know, and she's got great hair. She has got awesome hair, so
beautiful.
You were right about that.
But, you know, I try not to be superficial, but sometimes it just happens, you know.
Yes. Did she offer you any suggestions, like line changes, or did you take any of her suggestions, or was there any ad-libbing or anything like that from her? Did she add anything, like, different than what you envisioned or whatever?
Yes, I will say there was quite a bit of that going on.
Okay. And did you agree or disagree?
Was any of the ad-libbing during the love scenes? No, okay.
So, you know, sometimes you have.
Was that another superficial question? I'm so sorry.
Oh, Jen, let's do it this way.
let me lay this.
I think we need to do that again.
Let's try it this way.
Try it with passion.
Yeah.
I think you should be playing right now.
She did, you know, if she had a problem with saying something or the way that it was, you know, written, she definitely had her leisure.
She
time,
let you know.
You know. Yeah, she had no issues with letting me know. But, you know, you're very close to the people that you work with in that type of situation. So it was very, I don't want to say this. And I was like, okay, cool. So, you know, we worked really well together. She did change what she felt like needed to be changed, you know, a word here or there that just didn't roll off of her tongue the way that it should. And a lot of times, if you don't allow that, it doesn't come off like they're really feeling it, like they are really telling you that. As far as did she offer suggestions, she was amazing throughout the entire thing. She said, you know, because there was so much that I didn't know. You know, she was actually...
Because she's been in the business
often,
for so long.
Yeah, she's been doing it a long time. So she's familiar with what can and can't be done and how to make it happen. So I'm that kind of making it happen kind of person. So I love that about her. She, if I had a question or if she had a, you know, we worked very well together. We definitely kind of feed off of each other's energy. So it was definitely a good pairing up.
That's good.
Good.
Well, would you like to share a little bit about how you came about to cast Liam in the movie? Or what inspired that? Or what inspired the casting, maybe? And maybe tell us about some of the others that are also in the cast as well.
Definitely. You know, casting is tricky. It is pairing up people you've never met and just knowing that they're going to have the chemistry you need to have to make it work. It's hard. It's awkward and it's not fun at all. But, you know, I got really lucky. We had such an amazing cast, such a good group. I'm really one of those people that, when it comes to work, it's time to work. When I call cut, let's laugh and have fun. Because I feel like once you keep it really strict, really all business, no laughing, no fun, no anything, everybody feels forced. It feels forced. It comes across forced. It feels stiff, almost. So with Leanne, I had multiple conference calls with her prior to us actually casting her in the role. And, you know, from the first one, I felt like she was unequivocally the best choice.
That's cool.
I wasn't really super supported about that. So I'm really glad it turned out the way that I saw in my head, the way that I felt from her. You know, the feelings that I got from her, I'm glad that they were right. So I guess,
so you
know, when you're right.
Your intuition and your gut.
You really,
well.
You have to. You have a gut feeling about them as talent, you know, maybe not necessarily about them as a person, but as talent, you have to look at the role, you have to look at what they've done, what they can do, what kind of their specialties are, and you really have to say, okay, I after I've talked to her, after I've looked at what she's done, after, you know, all the research that you can do, all you can only do so much, but after you do all of this, you have to say, I know without a doubt that this is who needs to play this part. And that's just, that's kind of how you build a cast. So, you know, with the rest of them, I held auditions. I held multiple auditions for the rest of the roles. And I will say probably three of them, the second they auditioned, I was like, That's it right there. That's who we're casting. So I don't know how often that happens. I would think not a lot. So
yeah,
we had a really, yeah, because a lot of times it comes down to a handful of people. Well, this person will be good for this reason. This person will be good for this reason. So, you know, I would think that that doesn't happen a lot. But the woman who plays Elizabeth Kensington, which is the male lead's mother, She came in and auditioned, and literally my whole team was there doing auditions, and the hairs on our arms were like standing up. She is awesome, and her name is Mel Brooke. She's fantastic. She was great. So, you know, you just really have to look at what they're going to bring to the table, how they're going to fit in with the rest of the people that you've already chosen, and kind of progress from there. Leanne was different because she was in Los Angeles. She was a different type of audition, and, you know, is this going to be the best way to go? Is this going to be the best way to go? But she, you know, after talking to her several times, discussing everything that goes into pre-production and getting ready to start filming, she was the best choice. She was my only choice. You, as a writer, when you're working on something, you're like, you have an idea in your head of how that character looks or how that character acts or how she speaks or how he chews gum or puts his sunglasses on. You know those things. So when you find someone, a talent that fits as closely as possible, you go with it. That's the best way to assemble a cast that's going to do a film that you can sell. And this group that we had, Zach Rose played the male lead. We had Tiffany Lonsdale, Terry Medina Galvan, Caitlin Slager, Matt, I can't remember everyone's name. Stacey Wall. We just had a phenomenal group, and this group of kids came together like they've been best friends forever. I mean, they worked well together. They laughed. They played. Matt Moody, who this was his first feature film, he played Liam's son. Just phenomenal. Phenomenal. He just is amazing. So when they all came together, it was like they've been family forever. And that's really what you strive to achieve when you're doing auditions and casting and trying to make it all fit and work. And when you're bringing people from all over who have never met each other, sometimes that's a challenge. I do things completely different than what would be considered a Hollywood standard. I'm not necessarily the cookie cutter Hollywood director. I'm more let's do this and this and this so that everyone's comfortable, everyone's having a good time. This is how we get a product that people want to see. That's my opinion. So I brought Leanne in. I brought her in on a Friday, I think, and we didn't start filming till that next Wednesday. So the day she came in, we threw a huge launch party where our investors, talent, our crew came. Everybody got to meet everybody. Everybody got to laugh and have a few drinks and eat and have a good time with each other before they walked on set and started writing lines. So we also had a day of rehearsals. We had a table read. So they were well aware of who everyone was. They were familiar with each other by the time we started filming. So that's really important to me, to just not throw people in the ring. And a lot of times in big Hollywood productions, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it matters to me because I feel like they're going to be spending the next month of their lives with these people. Like, they need to know their last names.
And form a chemistry.
Yeah, just have that chemistry. And lucky for me, they had phenomenal chemistry. Everybody did, so.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Seals, which plays Leanne's husband in the film, amazing. And I think he actually was on Days of Our Lives at some point, and I don't
What's his character's name?
His character's name is Spencer Hamilton. My brain is fried. This has been a rough week. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Spencer Hamilton.
I was looking on the website.
Husband.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And his name is Robert Seals. I just remembered when I got his headshot and his resume that it listed Days of Our Lives. I don't know what he played or how long or anything, but yeah, he's phenomenal. I mean, seriously, such a great actor, such a great person. I'm just trying to think. Fenisa Lumbaris that did our styling for the film. She owns Runway Ready, a styling company out of Dallas. Phenomenal. I mean, she just... The things that go into making a film, it's crazy. It's insane. So with scheduling changes, she had to kind of juggle and adjust and pick and choose what came when, because a lot of things we borrowed from boutiques. So she had a huge job. She's phenomenal. If anybody needs a styling company, Runway Ready is amazing. She is incredibly talented. We just had such a good group of people to come together. And so I feel like it really produced a product that you're all going to love. So I'm really excited to release it.
We're excited to see it.
Yep. It won't be long.
So you mentioned the stylist and everything. So did Leanne bring she's got some pretty great stuff in her closet. Did she provide some of her own things for the movie, or was everything provided on set, or how did that work?
Wardrobe for this film, she brought a ton of things with her because we didn't have her come in prior to filming for a fitting to make sure everything was exactly right, and especially when you do that, your body changes, whatever, so that's with anybody. We didn't have her come in prior to filming to make sure everything was exactly the way it was supposed to be. So she brought a huge, huge suitcase with her of clothing for the film. So a lot of the pieces that she ended up wearing were actually her clothing. Things that she bought prior to coming here for the specific purpose. So we had a lot of things for her, but she did end up wearing a majority of her own things. So we did a fitting prior to, I think we did it Monday night before we started filming on Wednesday. So we picked and chose, and it's very tedious process. You have to think, okay, this is going for this, this is going for this, this is for this scene. But a lot of what she did end up wearing, she brought herself, which worked out great because it fit her body, it fit her, exactly the way that she would have preferred that it fit. So it really ended up working perfectly.
That's good.
That's cool. I have to interject with an Anna De Mira moment because when you said she brought, her big bag of, I couldn't, and so for those who don't watch Days, they won't get this, but I just,
happened to picture right as you were saying that, the picture of Anna getting on the plane with John and Marlena when they were going to try to find Tony on the island. That sounds rather, you know, but and John Black was just giving her such crap about her lugging this huge, you know, suitcase onto the plane because they weren't going to be gone that long. So I just had that moment where I thought, oh, the world of Anna DeMira and, you know, Leanne Hemsley are crossing there for
a second. That's exactly her. When I first met her, or I guess rather, I guess she called right before she got on the plane, and she was like, I'll be the blonde-headed lady with all the luggage. I was like, okay, I think I can handle it. So, I mean, and she did have a huge suitcase. I mean, that's her thing. That's the way she travels, so.
Was it a leopard bag? Yes, I thought so. Not that we're obsessed or anything, but I thought I remembered that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's fun. Well, it's always fun. So now we can look at the movie and go, oh, Leanne picked that out. Because you know we will. Not that we're superficial. Again, I know this seems
definitely
very dumb. These are very important things.
Yeah.
No, but, she looks great in the film, and she, you know, her hair and makeup is great. The lighting's great. She looks phenomenal. So I think you guys will be happy. She'll be happy.
Yeah. I met her. The one and only time I met her was a year ago, June. And I mean, I watched back when Anna and Tony were first on Days of Our Lives, so back 30 years ago. And I mean, it was just amazing, like seeing her in person, but also just thinking, oh my gosh, she looks just like what I remembered. Although, I mean, of course, she had been back to the show since, but it was just so neat to see her and think, wow, she looks just like what I remember from the old days, you know, and stuff. So it's just kind of fun. It's kind of neat when you actually meet somebody that you've admired or enjoyed over the years and everything. So
definitely.
So, let's see. Did you have
I'm sorry, Anna.
No, go ahead. I was just going to ask if you had something you wanted to ask.
Oh. Jen, I was just wondering, what was it like the first time you and Leanne met? Because I know that you had been a fan of hers when she was on Dawson's Creek. So I was
a fan of Dawson's Creek, and I did just watch it, I guess its first season when she was actually on it. But I was in fifth grade, so that was
a long time
now,
ago.
Now Marianne
oh,
and I
so
are really
long ago. Oh, gosh.
Such a long time ago.
I can't remember when I was in fifth grade.
I like to tease and say that I was in love with Tony quite a bit before Anna DeMira ever got her claws into him. Because I was in love with him when he was on General Hospital. I was like 12, okay. But I had, you know, he's a good looking man, you gotta admit. You know? So, what's not to love, you know? So, yeah. So I say it's the two Annas in his life, Anna DeMira and Anna, me. go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going, Nikki asked me the first time that we met, I think I was I mean, we had done so much pre-production, and I talked to her, you know, several times before she got there, and I remembered that I don't know why I remember, this is so random, but I had left early that day to go get my hair styled before I went to go pick her up. And I text her before I walked into the salon and told her to have a safe flight. And she, you know, texted me back and was like, yep, definitely, I'll see you in a couple hours, blah, blah, blah. So I went in. My best friend is the manager, not my best friend, but one of them, is the manager of the Ulta salon that's over here by my house. And we were just chatting, talking, blah, blah, blah. And I got another text from her that was like, okay, see you in a little bit. And I was like, okay. Even so, I mean, it was kind of just, we've had a very good relationship from the beginning, which was, you know, nice. Aww. Because you work that closely with someone. So I guess, you know, I picked her up from the airport, took her to her hotel. I had already been there to set up a bunch of things. We left her like a robe with her name on it and candy and water and all kinds of stuff that she would need while she was there. And she was just, she was so sweet, so fun. The car ride to the hotel was hilarious. I mean, the two of us seriously just laughed hysterically about everything. And it was like we've been friends forever. So it was pretty cool. She's definitely a lot of fun. Definitely somebody that you would have a great time going out with, somebody you would have a great time staying in with. She's a cool person. So it was fun.
Oh, warms our diva-loving heart. Okay, we have Thea is calling in from Germany, a.k.a. Thea.
Hi,
Thea.
Hi, Thea.
Thea.
You there?
She's asleep.
Yeah. Are you there? Hello? No.
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, it's weird. It's not. It's showing hold time zero. That's weird.
It's not connecting. Or?
Strange. Yeah, that's weird.
What did it
say?
Yeah,
I clicked on it. It's not popping up that she's on. I can see her number, but it's not popping up that she's on hold.
She's in the chat room. She says, "Can you really not hear me?"
I'm trying to switch. Are you there? Bia? Bia?
Oh, no. That's weird.
Oh,
she's
I can't.
Talking.
Yeah. I can't figure out why it's not working because it's doing it for everybody else. We can't hear you, Bia. Sorry.
Excuse me.
Darn it.
I don't know, maybe it's something to do. Yeah.
Yeah, it must be Blog Talk Radio because it's doing it. It's showing like she's talking, but we can't hear her. Oh, maybe she's going to try again. So,
yeah.
So we'll try
sort
this again. Maybe
hang up and try again. Yeah.
Could
be, yeah.
She's beating me up in the chat room.
Oh, I can hear her probably. I hear her.
Well, we love hearing Leanne's stories. And now I know. April, right? Isn't April one of the main actors in the show?
She is. She plays Leanne's sister in the film. Blair is her name. She's awesome. She is going to definitely do something big someday. She's a great, thing I really love about April is she works really hard. You know, when we set up our auditions, we didn't give out what are called sides, and it's basically the scenes that people are going to come in and audition. We didn't give those out prior to them walking into the door just because I didn't want the script out there. So they got their sides when they walked in the front door to audition. She sat in the lobby for a long enough period of time so that, she could memorize them. When she walked up onto the stage to audition, she was completely off book, which means she didn't have her papers in her hand. She recited everything perfectly. I mean, it was awesome. Most people walk up and they have their paper in their hand and they're reading off of it, which is it's completely fine. It's just very impressive when you see somebody walk in, read what they're supposed to do, walk out, and perform their scene. One thing I love about her is when she does something, she does this because she loves it. She also is a waitress at the Silver Fox. She takes acting classes weekly to make sure that she's on top of her game. But when she walks onto a set, and this is anyone's set, she goes around to everyone and shakes their hand, introduces herself. She's like, "Hey, I'm April." And it doesn't matter who they are, if they're doing hair, makeup, if they're holding the boom mic, it doesn't matter. She introduces herself to everyone because in this industry, you just never know. The person that is micing you may be directing the film that you're starring in the next, you know what I mean? So
absolutely.
everyone, and I really respect that about her, because this is such a tough industry. There's so many people that aren't that way. So, you know, I respect that about her. She'll definitely do something big someday.
Wow. Well, I love that. I was just looking at her picture on she's a beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm.
So
she is.
We'll look forward to seeing her there. Okay. So we have Bea. We're going to try it again.
Okay.
Bea, can you hear us? Hello?
Uh-oh.
Hello? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's still not working. Hello?
Because I came home.
Hello? I'm doing the same thing I'm doing for everybody else, and it's not coming through. Hereafter, we try to get her on here.
Probably has something to do
with
that.
Well, it's acting like she's not on hold. It's acting like she can hear us. So, I'm sorry, Blog Talk is finicky sometimes, and I can't figure out. I'm doing the exact same thing for her as anybody else, and it's just not coming up. Darn it. Because it's acting like, you know, when I put her on hold, it's putting her on hold, and when I undo it up, it's acting like she can hear us, and we can hear her. She's gonna try Skype. We can try Skype and see how that works. So we really just want to hear from her. But she can hear us, but we can't hear her.
That's weird.
So that's frustrating. She's going to try Skype, and neither one of us have ever tried getting a Skype call, so we'll try that one too. We do have another caller on the line that just popped up, so we'll try, maybe Blog Talk will work for them. Well, let's try that. Hello, area code 425.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Dama.
Hi, Dama.
Oh, hey, Dama.
Hi, Dama.
Hey, Dama.
Hello.
Hi.
How is everyone?
Good.
We're good.
Good.
How are you?
So, I'm good, thanks. So, wanted to call and say hi to everybody. And it's great to hear everyone's voice. And sorry about whoever's having problems there. That's not good.
He is trying to get through. We can't get it.
Oh, man.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Dama.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was kind of wondering what are the chances that that there'll be a movie premiere in Seattle, I wonder, when it comes time for the film to be released. I don't know if that was already discussed earlier or what, but
about
being that Leanne's from Seattle area originally.
Can we get
a
Dallas? Dallas first, huh?
Yeah, I know that there will be one in Dallas. We're trying to do one in Dallas and one in Los Angeles. I don't think that there will be one in Seattle. But I can say that I am really pushing for Seattle on my book tour. So I think that will at least come your way.
Great.
Think that there will be a film premiere, though. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
But it will, I mean, you'll be able to get it. It'll be, I know we're beginning with, as far as I know for now, we're beginning theatrically, and then we'll go, to HBO, Lifetime, things like that. So we'll kind of move towards the Netflix DVD. It'll all be available to everyone. But I don't think that there will be a film premiere in Seattle, but I know that I'm really pushing for Washington, for the book tour,
great.
That'll be, I'll release that probably on the Blissful Eyes website, but I'll put it on Facebook, and I might have somebody that is doing the Facebook page for the actual book now, so all of that will be available online as soon as I know. But I did put you on the list for the book tour, so I'm trying to get out there to you guys.
Okay, great. That sounds great. Well, I'll be looking for that on Facebook then.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, well, congratulations again to you and all your success, and and look forward to seeing the movie and then and hopefully see you on the book tour, too. That would be great.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling.
Okay, take
Thanks
care.
Thanks for calling, Dama.
Take care,
good
yeah,
to hear your
good
voice.
To hear you. Bye, good Dan. To hear your voice, Anna. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, she's so sweet.
I was just talking
she's
to her today.
Okay, now Bia is on here again. We're going to try her again. She's calling from Germany. Hopefully, Blog Talk goes to Germany. So we know it does. It's worked in the past. All right, here we go. Here we go. Let's try it again. Bia?
Anna?
There you are.
Yay. Oh, my God. It has never been that rough before.
Were the fiber optic cables in Indiana not working right today? I mean, okay.
You're such a smartass.
I tease Bia because she's German, but she speaks English so beautifully that I just am convinced that she's faking us about the German thing, and she's really from, you know, Indiana.
That's what my mom says. My mom thinks she's from Florida or something.
Your grandparents did too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
By the way, I've used
well,
the
yes.
By the way, I've used the word amazeballs in my English class last week, and no one noticed.
There you go.
Yeah, but I'm writing it.
What was the reaction?
Well, no one really noticed because no one really can understand me. They all say you're way too fast. You have to
They're
slow
like,
down.
They're like that girl from Indiana.
Not that would think.
They're like that girl from Indiana butchering the German language. What's her problem? Oh, well, we're glad that Blissful Diva got on the show.
Yeah, and via Skype for the first time, but it works. I do have two questions for Jennifer. Ian, hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Okay, I believe you've graduated from Texas Christian University, right, GCU.
That's right.
Just a couple of weeks ago. But you did not major in film, so I was wondering if that would be something you would be interested in, to go to film school.
No. No, I'm not going
on
to
the job training?
Go back. No, I kind of, you know, in a lot of fields, you get the best experience hands-on. By doing it, by being there, by being surrounded with everyday situations that you have to handle, which can vary from this person left with their shorts yesterday and we need them today and they're 2 hours from here to we need cups that
can't
don't have a logo on them. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy stuff. So you get the best experience doing it as opposed to school. And I have a degree. I plan on going to law school in the future. So I don't think that film school is in my future. But you know, I think it would be beneficial to someone that maybe hasn't already done a film or had that experience.
Oh, I gotcha. And my second question, I'm sure you know how some directors sometimes show up in their own films for just a couple seconds, like playing a waiter or a delivery guy, something like this, do a little cameo. So are there any plans that you might do that for your second film, since we would absolutely love it?
I might do that for the next
one. That would be fun.
We would
love
it. It will not be anything big, but I may do that.
Great.
I thought about that. I guess
that
probably a couple of months ago. So, yeah, there's a great possibility that will happen.
That's amazeballs.
She could just say amazeballs. You could just turn the camera, you know, somebody, one of the characters could do something, and then this random girl pops and says, "That was amazeballs."
Well, I'm very excited about, we're having a behind-the-scenes crew for the next one. So basically everything that goes on behind the scenes we'll have on camera, which I'm not really sure if that's a good thing or not.
It is for me.
It will, it will definitely be comical for whoever gets to see, you know, that last, all the footage. So, yeah, we'll have somebody every day, actually, that we're filming, be behind the scenes filming.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to go back and watch all of it.
Thank you. So it was an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I'm glad it happened.
I'm glad you called in.
Might have to check my phone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Because we never had these problems before, ladies. Called in like 20 times in the last 3 years, maybe.
Always work.
Okay. So I wish you guys a great rest of the night. And
same to you. I hope you get to feeling better.
See
I know
you,
you're not feeling well right now.
I hope Nikki feels better.
Well, thank you.
Aw, I didn't know. Aw,
got a couple of sick divas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll survive.
I hope you feel better.
I hope you feel better.
Okay, bye, girls.
Bye.
Bye. Molly. Bye-bye.
You know, Bea kept playing a baseball, but she forgot junk punch. You could always turn to the camera and say junk punch too, Jennifer.
I know. That is said a lot behind the scenes, I promise. I promise.
Oh, love it.
It's so crazy.
That is funny. Well, you know, you mentioned that you're going to have a behind the scenes crew for this next film. And I know, didn't you take a lot of footage, or don't you have quite a bit of information, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff or material for Blissful Lives as well? Or you might not have had a complete, you know, behind-the-scenes team, but didn't you do something with, aren't you maybe going to do something with that? Or
I have a behind-the-scenes video that I actually started putting together first, and just there aren't enough hours in the day. And then a different team took it over, and it actually looks awesome. It's a lot of behind the scenes. It's a kind of like a montage of pictures and videos, and it's just videos that people took I took with my phone, or someone else took, whatever. We have some footage actually that was taken with a video camera, and it was just going around to all the different cast members and kind of having them say crazy stuff. But, yeah, that actually looks really good. I haven't released it anywhere yet, but I told you guys that I'll give you a copy of it if you want one. But it looks awesome. So the next one, it'll be a little bit different, and it's something – it'll be an actual video. It'll be kind of like – all video footage, as opposed to having this one is pictures and videos. So it'll be a lot of behind the scenes, what happens to kind of show how you get to the final product.
Cool. I know I'm impressed with the fact that this is your first film, and you know what an amazing job, amazeballs, the product is, but or at least what we've seen of it so far and heard about it. I know, I mean, with all the experiences you've had on this first project and then, you know, getting ready for the second one, have you thought about maybe, like, at some point, like in your spare time between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. before the baby wakes up, have you thought about doing some sort of, like, either a book on... you know, class or something on, you know, because you sound like you'd be a great teacher, just the way you articulate things and the way you explain things. And I'm just thinking from that experience, for those who really aspire to that, you know, to create film, be it producing, directing, writing, it seems like you have a wealth of knowledge from, you know, the school of hard knocks, so to speak, of this first time, you know, through. And I was just wondering if you've thought about maybe, you know, doing a book or something to help teach or show others how they might be able to do it too, you know, realize their dreams in that industry as well.
I hadn't actually thought about it. I have a lot of really exciting opportunities coming my way to kind of get kind of my hand in a couple of other industries, which I'm super excited about. but I hadn't really considered doing something like that, though I think it would be beneficial to at least say these are the 1,000 lessons I learned. So
there you
don't
go.
Do that. That's a great idea. I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, I think that's something I would definitely consider
even if it's down the road sometime, you know, like,
yeah.
But I just think you have a lot to offer that way, really. You know, I mean, a lot of people write something and they've never, I mean, they might be trying to get something published for years and years and years and never get it published. And, you know, not only have you managed to get a screen page, you know, to publish, or you're just about to get published as far as your novels, but, you know, you have a screenplay that was snatched up by, you know, several people, and, you know, you ran with it, and you did it. I mean, you did this thing without even having the film background or anything. It's pretty impressive. So
thank
I would think
you.
That you definitely have a lot to offer for people who are interested in that. So you can file that away for your to do on a rainy day.
Definitely. I mean, the book thing, writing the book, I think we've all discussed prior to this, but the book is something I've thought about in the past, but doing like an actual class or seminar, I think that's a great idea. I think a lot of people, I would have gone to my seminar. So I think a lot of people could possibly, at least if they didn't have to do the 112 things wrong that I did, you know what I mean? I think that would be beneficial.
Oh, well, definitely. So, trying to think of, Nikki, did you have anything else? Do you have something that you wanted to bring up?
I do want to say for everybody listening, if you haven't visited the Blissful Lies Facebook fan page, please go and do so.
Oh, excellent.
And we'd really appreciate it if you could go and like the fan page.
Yes.
We post frequent updates, and Jennifer's hands-on with us, and it's all very connected, and there's pictures and a link to the website. So, yeah, if you have Facebook, go ahead and do that.
That's a great
there's
idea.
There's a lot of information on the website, too. I, you know, enjoy looking at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot
God,
of
I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, we cut and pasted and posted the website link in the chat room, but it's pretty easy to remember too, right?
BlissfulLives.com.
Definitely, we encourage everyone to check it out. It's really and the trailer's on there, and it really does pull you in. I mean, and you know the cast looks fabulous, so we're all really excited. And Marianne, did you have anything else? Did you have anything you wanted to ask?
Yeah, with the book and the movie, is there any chance that they'll coincide and come out at the same time or anything, do you think?
I don't.
Or it'll be quite a while yet for the book.
I think the film, the book will release a couple of months after the film. It depends on who we go with. Who we end up going with, because some publishers take, like, for instance, one that we're talking to takes 3 months, one takes 7 months. So it just depends on their process and how it releases. So,
yeah.
No, I don't think so, but they'll be pretty close.
Okay. We'll have that to look forward to, though. So,
definitely.
Great. Well, okay. Anything else, Jennifer, that you wanted to add, or anything you'd like to encourage us to go to, or anything? Or
for any of my normal girls that I Skype with after these fabulous interviews, I have something fun to share with you guys, so I will be online.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, cool.
Okay.
All right. Well. Thank you again. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining us tonight. We love hearing from you. You're fascinating. And
thanks, you guys. Thanks for having
all
me.
Around and we love you lots and wish you the best. And we're looking forward to hearing updates as things go, get closer to the premiere and everything. And thanks to Marianne and Nikki for joining us.
Yes, thank you, ladies. Mm-hmm.
And thanks to everybody in the chat room. The chat room's been rather lively, lots of fun in there. And
glad to have the callers and really appreciate the support. And so I guess until next time, we'll play that lovely music and tune into Hoochie Dr. Dark
thank
later.
You.
So thanks
thank
again,
you guys
Jennifer.
So much.
Thanks.
Good night.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye, girls. Good night.